Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, not quite. I'll be talking about more than just the Benjamins. Welcome to FinTech Beat, where finance, technology, and policy come together. I'm your host, Chris Brummer, and the future of finance is now. There is perhaps no bigger sign of the economic times than the soaring price of housing. In stark contrast to the country's falling stock market, the median price for an American home is up nearly 20% in a year, driven in part by skyrocketing inflation and a pandemic incenting larger and more spacious dwellings. But the rising prices of homes is placing special pressure on Americans everywhere, especially young people, women, and underrepresented minorities. What's more, working-class households on the cusp of home ownership before the pandemic may now need another 5 to 10 years to play catch-up. And in the midst of it all, policymakers are scrambling for responses, from billions of dollars in investments in America's public housing infrastructure to billions more in down payment assistance for first-generation homeowners. But policymakers aren't the only ones to have taken note of the conundrum. FinTech founders and startups are as well, and are developing a range of applications all designed to help support people in their journey for home ownership. Now, one particularly interesting company is FinLocker, a software firm that leverages big data and artificial intelligence to assist people looking for mortgages before they even start to think about owning homes. It's the kind of technological magic that we like to learn more about on the show, and we've invited FinLocker's president, Brian View, onto the podcast to learn more about the company and to get his own thoughts on the state of housing and what technology can bring to the table in a world of quickly spiraling housing costs. Who's Brian, thanks so much for joining the show.
Chris, I'm glad to be here, man. This is going to be great.
Yeah, you know, you are really, at the forefront of it all. And I think it's really good to just jump right in with maybe your impressions of the current state of housing and housing affordability. From your standpoint, what's really standing out?
Well, I mean, it goes without saying that there's a severe lack of inventory, and nowhere do you see that being more evident than at the kind of entry level space, which is where first time homebuyers are typically coming in. So we're seeing it. And just for context, I'm a 28 year mortgage production veteran before I moved into the fintech space. So I kind of bring a perspective of being in that space for almost 3 decades. And never have I seen kind of an inventory glut like we're seeing today that's impacting so many would be and otherwise ready first-time homebuyers.
When you look around the country, it really doesn't matter whether or not you're on the East Coast, the West Coast, or the Midwest. You're seeing housing prices going up, and at the same time, most of the time, some kind of really lack of inventory. I mean, what are you seeing as the major drivers in housing prices?
Well, I think you kind of hit on it a little bit in the open. COVID and this concept of work from home has really changed people's mobility, and so I think you're seeing a lot of people across all kinds of demographics and age groups deciding that if I can work from home, then I should be able to live where I want to live. And so there, I think that's probably an unprecedented driver for housing appetite from a buy side. The flip side of that is, I think a lot of people are also kind of saying, I like my house, but now that I have to work here, I need to put an office in or make it a little bit bigger. So you got people that are kind of rooting in and staying put that otherwise may have moved up. And then there's kind of this shadow market, I think, that at its core is really causing problems. And that's the massive number of institutional investors who are purchasing homes, taking them right off the market and you know, not even giving these home buyers a chance to even be in the game. So I think that, you know, the combination thereof is, to me, is what's really driving this thing.
I think that's really interesting, especially, you know, when you think about the fact that, you know, a lot of the demand for housing is being driven not just by people aging into larger families and with kids, but, you know, there are also younger people, a lot of younger people who are just quite literally setting up shop at home, and they're looking around and they're reevaluating what their own housing needs can be. But with that said, you know, you look at some of these dynamics and they seem sort of larger than life. And yet you're trying to take a crack at addressing some of these challenges. Maybe you can just give us a basic sense of FinLocker and really sort of where it fits in the overall housing or even mortgage landscape.
Chris, we sit today in the mortgage kind of vertical, supporting, you know, real estate through financing, right? So we're a partner to the lenders who are engaged with these home buyers. And if I can just back up a bit and just talk about the kind of historical friction that the standard or prior standard mortgage process had and how it could create, you know, an elongated process in both duration and effort. I'll start there and then kind of talk about how we've and others in the industry have been working on streamlining. So traditionally, the decision-making process for a lender to give a consumer financing to go buy a home involved a series of Q&A. the lender would ask a bunch of questions of the borrower and then ask for documentation to validate and verify those questions. So things like, who do you work for? When did you start? How much do you make? How much money do you have in your bank account? You know, yada, yada, yada. And so traditionally, that has been a very paper-intensive process. And if the process extends beyond, let's just say, 60 days, the documentation's considered stale, and you have to go back and ask for a refresh of those documents. So plenty of friction points. And in the context of today's environment that we talked about at the open, which is we've got these challenges with inventory. We have this shadow set of investor buyers who are essentially cash buyers. All things being equal, if I'm a seller and I have a cash buyer versus a buyer who's got to go through a 60 or 90 day process, I'm probably going to take the cash buyer, maybe even when their offer is slightly lower than this other consumer. So what FinLocker and some other very forward-leaning fintechs and frankly lenders have been focused on really over the last number of years is how do we take this paper intensive, painstaking process and move to a more digitized experience and to double click on that, move to an experience that offers direct source data. So instead of getting paper statements, let's go to the source and get the data directly with the consumer's permission and consent, and bring that data into the mortgage process to streamline, remove friction, and frankly, compress the lending cycle so that all things being equal now, a buyer can say, this consumer's already approved versus this cash buyer, because they're virtually the same at that point.
What was really interesting in that answer is that really does speak to this larger trend as to what's happening overall in this question of data, whether or not it's open banking and sort of permission data, but really how do we facilitate information in a way that enables transactions either because of their speed or because of their quality or ideally in terms of both. You know, when you're trying to, you know, address or to tackle that problem, you know, what does that look like? I mean, is this a technology solution that's going to be designed, you know, on an individual's app, you know, where a lender or excuse me, a borrower accesses information directly? Where in this larger dynamic system of underwriting does FinLocker fit in? Where is FinLocker adding value?
Yeah, no, I love that. Again, coming out of almost three decades of being right in that space, traditionally, the mortgage lender first engaged their borrower at what is known as the point of sale, right? And so in the mortgage space, the point of sale is when the consumer is ready to apply for a loan because they've made it, they put a purchase agreement in place on a property. They bought a home, right? Now they need to secure financing. What FinLocker is empowering lenders of all sizes to do is to get further up the funnel, engage consumers maybe at the point of thought or even before the point of thought, and then let the consumer be empowered to leverage their data. They're in control through our app of that data. So one example would be, you know, I like to use the first-time homebuyer as an example. They don't just magically wake up on a Saturday ready to buy a home. They go through an emotional and financial preparation process. And one or the other could be more exhausted than the other. It just depends on their situation. But nonetheless, they go through a process oftentimes before they ever talk to a realtor or a lender. And so partners of ours are using FinLocker to create a wider funnel much earlier than they typically would have to attract more consumers in using the tools that FinLocker has for improving credit, creating budgets, understanding your entire financial life. We even have embedded real estate search as a feature. And so the lenders that are attracting these consumers early on are essentially giving these consumers a tool that is going to give them a roadmap for mortgage readiness. We're basically looking at the consumer across five dimensions: verified identity, credit, assets, income, and employment. And those happen to be the same five dimensions that every loan is underwritten on to some degree. And so we're pushing those tools to the consumer very early. And so they may engage with the app, and for the first 2 months, they're not ready because their debt-to-income ratio, right? The amount of their total mortgage expense payments exceeds an acceptable ratio for that loan being eligible for sale to the into the secondary market. And so the app will give, not only tell them that this is what's holding you back, but will help them across their actual data find strategies to improve that, whether it's through budgeting or other methods.
So really, you guys are coming in and you're empowering the lender to, in effect, empower the ultimate end user or borrower, right? So you're the software company that's coming in and providing a set of solutions, you know, to, as you said, engage the end user at the point of thought. That is a really interesting way of putting things, at the point of thought. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, we've kind of been studying, you know, things that the average consumer does as they're going through this process of becoming a home buyer. And we think there's four leading indicators of somebody kind of entering that realm. And today, they're doing this on websites and apps that are readily available in the marketplace. You know, so searching for property, usually a decent sign that someone is at least having thoughts about what would it look like to buy a home and where would I want to do that? So playing with Zillow and other search sites is something that happens. Credit. Consumers who are starting that journey typically want to know where they stand with respect to their credit. So they're going to go to an app or to their bank and get their free credit report and understand their score and maybe start playing with other tools to help improve their credit. And then as you get a little bit deeper into that process or that funnel, they may start engaging online or on an app with tools to understand what would a payment look like if I bought a home of this size or what would my mortgage be? And so they're starting to play with online calculators. And then finally, as they get really serious, they actually want to understand what the impact to their cash flow would be if they owned a home. So they get deeper into maybe a personal financial management tool. We've taken those kind of four leading indicators that are happening kind of independent of each other typically, brought them into one experience. And we do that, you know, through a white label solution for our lender partners. And that offers that lender, again, a set of tools to engage and provide value to consumers well before, again, they're ready. So that's kind of what I mean when I talk about the point of thought is when they're doing these other things that otherwise wouldn't indicate until you put them all together that someone's really ready to go.
You know, I think that one of the really interesting things about data-oriented solutions and fintech more generally is that the way in which they're thinking about that consumer is very different, I think, than, you know, traditional business models. Because, you know, what you're describing is a model where we're going to leverage data and we're going to leverage inputs and we're going to leverage, you know, what we know about the behavior of individuals in ways to sort of engage them even before they themselves may be concretely thinking about entering into the housing market. And by, as I'm going to use your language here, you know, moving up the funnel and engaging the person earlier, your hunch is, hey, we may be able to open up more opportunities for that person, right? And yes. I guess, you know, sort of push on the boundaries of financial inclusion. Maybe you could just sort of take that extra step there, you know, like by being able to engage the person earlier on in that housing journey. What concretely do you hope to get out of financial inclusion in the sense of being able to, you know, again, open the credit box and or open the scale of opportunities for borrowers?
Yeah, so I think I'll start maybe first with the credit box, and you know, it's our belief that direct source data is the best data to use when decisioning at a loan level. And we believe that actually helps. If all things equal, all I'm seeing is data, then I'm not making any decisions other than on this set of data. So there's, you know, there's some maybe bias that's removed from that process by just, you know, hammering on that data piece. But we also really believe that marrying tools like I described with supporting kind of better financial literacy and financial fitness is going to contribute to creating more responsible and ready home buyers that are going to have a more successful homeownership experience, right? We've seen this movie play out too many times where either through predatory lending or just products that go bad in certain markets, that consumers maybe were in too much of a home with too much of a mortgage. And when things got a little bit bad, then they lost their home. And so I think there's an element of responsibility around that. Another area that we're proud of is the tools that we've built specifically around budgeting. We partnered with the Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and their housing counselors to build a format that sits on top of that consumer's direct source data that is the same format that a housing counselor would use. And traditionally, they do that old school way, shoebox full of statements and receipts, and they're kind of creating an Excel type budget. We help streamline the automation of that budget, which helps counselors engage in a different way with these consumers, especially younger consumers who are more comfortable dealing with a digital experience. And so we also believe we're helping scale up how many people a counselor can help by using a tool like FinLocker. So we're not just going at it from the lending side, but we're also bringing in housing counselors who've traditionally done it kind of rolling up their sleeves and getting their hands dirty.
We are still in unprecedented times. I think maybe to sort of just end off and to cap off the conversation is interesting to maybe head back to where we started. I mean, when you look at the economy, we have sky-high inflation. For better or worse, real estate's a pretty good hedge for inflation. But that also means that housing experiences sort of inflation on the chin, along with lots of other sort of staples in society. What does your business look like in that kind of environment, right? In a high inflationary environment. I mean, I think it's super interesting that, you know, you have conversations about what's happening to fintech in a high inflation environment, but you're not just a fintech, you're a housing fintech. And that impacts both you as a business, but it also impacts your customers.
So we are today, our platform has a product that serves the mortgage vertical, but we are a platform company that, you know, can serve other financial verticals in the same way we help shape mortgage readiness. We could be shaping some other financial readiness. So that's one of our natural hedges, if you will. And frankly, we're exploring these other verticals. But what I would say is, you know, when we look at, you know, we look at a combination of the Mortgage Bankers Association, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac's forecasts for mortgage originations, you know, out over the next 3 to 5 years. And we're coming off of a historic total mortgage market that was frankly driven by mostly refinance activity because of COVID impacted mortgage rates. So what we're seeing as we kind of come into 2022 from a mortgage origination perspective is frankly a return to a more normalized market where purchase money loans are 70% of the transactions that are being done across the industry. And what each of those parties that I named, Fannie, Freddie, and MBA, are predicting is that about a third of the homes purchased over the next 3 to 4 years will be first-time home buyers. And so it's, you know, and by, you know, you can assume that because it's a first-time home buyer segment, these are going to be generally younger consumers who are not as astute to a financial product like a mortgage and what it means to own a home. And so we actually feel really good about where we're positioned with that segment being, you know, one of the strongest single segments for purchase forecast going forward. Doesn't make it any less challenging. We can't solve inventory at FinLocker, but we do, you know, we do really have that same belief that that's the big segment. And there's millions of those every year behind those, right? Everyone, all these 22-year-olds today are going to be that same segment in 5 years. So, and I think the demand for a digital kind of, you know, on-demand experience is continuing to come from that consumer segment.
Brian, well, you know, always I like to talk to companies that are doing well by doing good. FinLocker has a really interesting story, and I wish you the very, very best.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
No matter what business you're in, technology is poised to transform the way you do business. The question, of course, is whether the gains of digital transformation are usurped by the first to adapt to a digital economy or passed to consumers and customers. Now, FinLocker illustrates the prospect of at least one other possibility of first movers in the transformation race taking the reins to enable other companies to empower their customers. It's a tantalizing prospect in a world of unpredictable macroeconomic forces where improving consumer welfare will be less the responsibility of any one actor and at times only possible as a team effort. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'd love to get your feedback. If you'd like to get in touch, just hit me up at Chris Brummer, DR. That's at CHRISBRUMMERDR. We'd love to hear from you.